the doubt, a fact that greater political or global impact has been the defeat of Donald Trump in the US presidential elections. A result that, however, has left other questions open. Some newspapers headlined "The End of Trump, but the Beginning of Trumpism." An interesting note, because usually the defeated candidate in US presidential election was quickly forgotten. His appearances became unnoticed or politically unimportant events. But this is not the case with Trump. His imprint has been very much marked in the Republican Party and in a mass that follows him in an almost religious way, which will not be easy to ignore as a political factor in the United States. Moreover, one must add, a mass of extreme right-wing fanatics where racism and male chauvinism are welcome, a potential danger that some dare to call a fascist growing tendency in the American society. Latin America, for its part, left this year in the midst of turmoil, mainly because in many cases the response to COVID-19 was grossly ineffective, aggravating social conditions of inequality. We already mentioned the case of Moreno's Ecuador, but also Peru under Martin Vizcarra, eventually removed from his post. Certainly the Brazil of the denialist Bolsonaro, and even in the case of Mexico, the leftist Andrés Manuel López Obrador did not act very diligently either, and his first reactions were confused, as he also appeared to minimize the effect of the virus. In certain cases, the pandemic did not prevent the development of protests and social mobilizations. In Chile, the social outburst that began in 2019 continued until this moment, with demands that range from the resignation of President Sebastián Piñera to a growing movement of repudiation of the entire political class, all in the midst of violent police repression. Massive protests also took place in Colombia and Peru, in the latter case just after the removal of Vizcarra and during the short government of Merino. Things tended to stabilize, although not completely, with the new president Francisco Sagasti. On the more positive side, we have seen the return of MAS, the party of Evo Morales, to the Bolivian government, with economist Luis Arce in office. In Argentina, President Alberto Fernández's handling of the pandemic showed good results at the beginning, but in recent months, there seemed to be a growing movement on the part of the right-wing sectors along with the denialists, which has translated into new increases in the number of infected people. Buenos Aires took a quick initiative to acquire the Russian vaccine against COVID-19. And finally, at the national level, the Justin Trudeau government's handling of the pandemic has had its ups and downs. The Canadian government's quick response to ensuring a certain level of income for the entire population, as well as supporting businesses, has been widely praised. All this at the cost of an unprecedented deficit, but with a clear conviction of most of the population that helping people survive this difficult time was the right thing to do. However, some of his moves, notably the later cancellation of the administration of aid to students and young people by an organization called WE, with ties to Trudeau's families and then Finance Minister Bill Morneau, marked the low point, even at the level of scandal, of a generally well-evaluated management of the pandemic. Of course, in this country, the provinces have the responsibility for day-to-day management of health. And in the case of Quebec, it will also go down in history that this province had the worst record for infections and death in all of Canada, a subject that could eventually pass the bill to the government of Premier François Legault, as we hope. Good day.
tuo amor che tanto quiero. Y tanto extraño que me sirvan otra copa y muchas más, que me sirvan de una vez pa' todo el año, que me pienso seriamente emborrachar. Si te cuentan que me vieron muy borracho, orgullosamente diles que es por ti, porque yo tendré el valor de no negarlo. Gritaré que por tu amor me estoy matando, y sabrás que por tus besos me perdí. Para Dios, en adelante, y el amor no me interesa, cantaré por todo el mundo mi dolor y mi tristeza, porque sé que de este golpe ya no voy a levantarme,
aunque yo no lo quisiera.
Tanto quiero y tanto extraño que me sirvan otra copa y muchas más, que me sirvan de una vez pa' todo el año, que me pienso seriamente emborrachar. Si te cuentan que me vieron muy borracho, orgullosamente diles que es por ti, porque yo tendré el valor de no negarlo. Gritaré que por tu amor me estoy matando, y sabrás que por tus besos me perdí. Para de hoy en adelante, y el amor no me interesa,
cantaré por todo el mundo mi dolor y mi tristeza,
porque sé que de este golpe ya no voy a levantarme,
aunque yo no lo quisiera.
Dejar de fumar, 10 años buscando un oficio que no involucre cantar, 10 años ya no estoy aquí, y en 10 años seré feliz, en 10 horas se pasa la vida sacando la lengua como quien pide un poquito de amor. Salgo a pasear con el diablo entre los labios, mis amigos ya se van a descansar.
Han pasado los años, cómo cambiaron las cosas, y aquí estamos lado a lado, como dos enamorados, como la primera vez.
Cómo han pasado los años, qué mundo tan diferente. Aquí estamos frente a frente, como dos adolescentes que se miran sin hablar.
Si parece que fue anoche que bailamos abrazados y juramos un te quiero, que nos vivimos por entero y en secreto murmuramos, nada nos va a separar.
Han pasado los años, las vueltas que dio la vida.
Nuestro amor siguió creciendo y con él nos fue envolviendo.
Habrán pasado los años, pero el tiempo no ha podido hacer que pase lo nuestro.
Si parece que fue anoche que bailamos abrazados y juramos un te quiero,
que nos dimos por entero y en secreto murmuramos,
nada nos va a separar. Como han pasado los años, las vueltas que dio la vida.
Nuestro amor siguió creciendo
y con él nos fue envolviendo. No habrán pasado los años,
pero el tiempo no ha podido
hacer que pase lo nuestro.
Thank you. Era una noche más de invierno y yo estaba ocultándome del viento, pensando en cómo hacer para que todo salga bien. Entraste por la puerta, lo recuerdo como ayer. Cuando escuché tu voz sabía lo que había que hacer. Y fuimos acercándonos hasta que conocí a tus labios. Y desde entonces seguimos, día como hoy día nos juntamos. Quizás nunca lo diga, pero cuando estoy contigo no falta la alegría. Contigo me siento vivo, y aunque pudiera parecer mentira, con cada nuevo día te quiero un poco más. Hoy quiero agradecerte por el día en que entraste en mi vida. Y cómo es tu sonrisa, y cómo el sol cae sobre tu piel, y cómo siempre estás dispuesta a lo que haya que hacer. ¿Cómo haces que yo sea 10 veces mejor? ¿Cómo es que de ti robo toda mi inspiración? Y fuimos acercándonos hasta que conocí a tus labios. Y desde entonces seguimos, día como hoy día nos juntamos.
Sufro al pensar que el destino logró separarnos. Guardo tan bellos recuerdos que no olvidaré. Sueños que juntas forjaron tu alma y la mía. Y en las horas de dicha infinita que anoran en mi canto y no han de volver. Hoy que en mi vida tan solo quedó tu recuerdo, besos, dulce y vapurro. Tú que abelera sedosa que acarició en mis sueños y me estrechan tus brazos amantes.
Y esto ha sido todo por hoy. Esta ha sido una edición especial de Tiempo Latino. Estuvimos con ustedes en las voces Daniel Lara y Sergio Martínez. Producción técnica, compaginación y selección musical, Rommel Cajavilca. Tiempo Latino estará de regreso el próximo domingo en las ondas de CKUT 90.3 FM. Manténgase en las ondas de CKUT, nuestro próximo programa de International Radio Report. Tengan todos ustedes un muy feliz domingo.
Latin Time was a Latin American Communications Workshop production. Our team today, Daniel Lara and Sergio Martinez at the mics, and in charge of the technical production, editing and music selection, Rommel Cajavilca. Latin Time will return next Sunday at 9 a.m. on CKUT 90.3 FM. Stay tuned to CKUT, next, the International Radio Report. Have a happy Sunday.
CKUT Radio.
Radio.
Sound waves in the air.
CKUT.
Montreal, Canada.
CKUT.
Jeff Eichner of Bloomsburg, Pennsylvania, United States of America. Listen to the International Radio Report every Sunday morning at 10:30 on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the International Radio Report for Sunday, December the 27th. We hope you had a great Christmas day, wherever you may be out there in the world. We thank you for joining us here on our weekly half-hour program of news and information from the world of radio. My name's Sheldon. I am here, as usual, with Jill. Jill, you had a good Christmas?
Yeah, pretty good. Very, very quiet, but a pretty good one. You know, I still did all the food, so I have food for the next 2 weeks.
There you go. Yeah, you're a good cook anyways. I know you make all kinds of fancy stuff, so that's good. Well, anyways, we thank you all for joining us today. And we have a bit of a special program today as we fill in the gap between Christmas and New Year. We will have a special guest in studio with us here for most of the program today. It is Wojtek Wjazda from the RCI Action Committee. We'll get to him in just a moment. We want to give you our contact information as usual. You can reach us by email. radioreport@yahoo.com is our email address. You can listen to our show either live or live streamed and archived as well on the CKUT website, which is ckut.ca. And of course, we have our Facebook group, International Radio Report. We invite you to check in there, join the group, and you'll see lots of stories that we don't get to on the show, plus some further detailed information about things we do talk about on our show. So check that out. It is International Radio Report on Facebook. So I guess we'll get right to our guest. We want to welcome, as I said, Wojtek Wjazda, who is the spokesperson for the RCI Action Committee, RCI being Radio Canada International. And Wojtek is a former RCI announcer producer, worked for 35 years with Radio Canada International, retired about, 5 years ago, Wojtek?
That's right, 5 years ago. A little more, almost six.
Almost six. It goes by quickly, doesn't it?
Yeah.
If you're like a lot of people, you're busier retired than you were when you were working.
I am pretty busy, especially these days with the Action Committee.
Well, yeah, it's things have sparked, and we actually talked about what was happening a couple weeks ago on the show, but we have a lot more information today to share with listeners. Now, we have a lot of fairly new listeners to our program, and maybe listeners that are new to shortwave and are hearing us talk about Radio Canada International, and maybe don't even really know what it is, because it's kind of been going by under the radar for the last number of years, compared to what it used to be. Maybe you can tell us a little bit about the history of RCI and how we've got to where we are now, and then we'll talk about, you know, what's happened in the last couple weeks.
Well, RCI started in 1945, so it's almost 76 years old. And it was supposed to be the voice of Canada. Its mandate was to explain Canada to the world, and through the years, that's what it was doing in a lot of different foreign languages and also in English and French. And the thought was that there is no other real media that's present. We don't have a Time or a Newsweek that's seen or read around the world. So RCI was the place to get information about Canada and what was happening there. Apart from, you know, like disasters or something, we would on a daily basis give the news that people could have a better understanding of the country.
Now, what happened, that was when it was at its peak, and then all of a sudden things started to change with RCI, and you and I and many other shortwave listeners around the world were involved in lobbying that started to take place regarding some of these changes that were happening. So
yeah,
what sort of happened?
Well, part of the problem is that in 1968, the funding for RCI stopped coming from government and was transferred one way or another, and has been one way or another in the hands of our national broadcaster, CBC Radio-Canada. And so whenever there's a question of budget cuts, the domestic service would always be looking at us, thinking that they could save money by getting rid of us. It was not really totally part of what they saw as their mandate, serving Canadians in Canada. And I guess this serious period started in 1990 when they announced they were just going to eliminate Radio Canada International, just totally get rid of it. Thankfully, at the time, Prime Minister was Brian Mulroney, a conservative. And strangely enough, he said, no, I'm not going to let it die. But so they put together some money, the governments, and still we lost half of our staff and half of the 14 languages that we were broadcasting in. And so there was a pattern that started in the 1990s where CBC would announce they were shutting us in 1990, 1995, 1996. And every time it was listeners around the world, members of parliament, senators, who saved us. And so we managed to get saved, and I think CBC changed tactics and started taking us apart one section at a time, two people at a time, a service at a time. And so we've been going through continual cuts all the way. Like in 2001, there was a massive redeployment of our services and that. And I guess the almost mortal blow was in 2012 when CBC decided that we would no longer broadcast on shortwave. Anybody knows that how important it is to get into certain countries like China. So we lost our audience in China because our shortwave signal wasn't blocked, but our website was. And so it's been cut after cut after cut. And now we're finding ourselves in 2020 facing another battle. And this time it's about the whole essence of our mandate to speak to an external audience.
I think one of the things you just mentioned that is important to understand, as you said, the Radio Canada signal was going into China, and of course any other country that tries to limit our free speech, but the websites are blocked, and they're blocked easily. And that's why I think a shortwave voice was very important for Canada and for many other countries that actually left shortwave also.
It was crucial, and it's that's one of the hardest hits that we took in terms of being able to reach the audience that we're supposed to reach, is that they just put us on the internet in 2012. One thing I'd like to get across also for those listeners who don't know Radio Canada the International, apart from the news and current affairs programming that we did and, you know, arts programming, RCI did a lot of things that were trying to explain Canadian culture, to get things out into the world. And from around 1947 until 1990, when we had the big cut, there was a music transcription service where Radio Canada International would actually record people like Oscar Peterson, like Pauline Julien, and all kinds of Canadian Quebec artists, and put them on records and then distribute them around the world. And they did the same thing with language lessons in English and French that were broadcast in countries like Vietnam or Romania or Russia or China. So there was a whole lot of this kind of activity. And we were like this amazing ambassador to the world. We were doing all of these things. And for many people, and we'd hear anecdotal information about this, for many people, we were the first they ever heard about Canada. And in some cases, it was the reason that they came to Canada. So this whole rich tradition that we had, and I say had, is because we've been diminished. And with the latest cut that we're going to be talking about this year, there's only going to be 9 people left.
I do remember when you're talking about Canadian artists, I do remember so many times when in the mailbag show, for example, on the French side of Radio Canada, where they would ask questions about artists and you could win vinyl records that they would send to listeners all across the world. I actually had here a Angèle Arsenault record.
Well, actually, in the beginning of the 80s, I did a Canadian rock music program called The Music Shop. And I would feature, like, in the French, from Quebec, it would be Offenbach, Corbeau, Margeau, and obviously, like, Loverboy and others, you know, from English Canada. And we had people listening all over the place. And the weird thing was, we sometimes had Canadians listening to us because you could get the back signal of the shortwave. And they say, I didn't know they were Canadian. So we were doing this amazing kind of education, but not in this pedantic way. We had a lot of autonomy in how we did things. And as announcer producers, we were really the producers of our programs. And whether we were doing it in English or French or all the other languages that we broadcast to, we were really targeting. And like before the big cuts in 1990, we had special English sections for Europe, Africa, Asia, and the Americas, and the same thing in French. So we had targeted programming, but all of that has, you know, gradually over the years disappeared.
Gilles, I think you know, we've talked about this so many times. The reputation that RCI had in the world of international broadcasting as well with our audience around the world, you know, when you were mentioned in the same breath as international broadcasters like the BBC World Service,
that's
Radio
right.
Netherlands, Radio Australia, you know, that reputation that Canada put out, not just for the, you know, the fact that we were reaching so many people, but people just really appreciated what they were hearing. They respected the news and the information that they were getting. And like I said, when you get in the same breath as a BBC World Service, you know, you're really right up there. And, you know, through our circle of people that we have dealings with through the radio conventions and shortwave listeners around the world, it's really sad to see and hear from them that Radio Canada just doesn't seem to be on their radar anymore. You know, what's left is there on an internet site, and basically that's the only way to get it. And we just find that people have kind of almost forgotten about it. And that's what's really, really sad. But now we've got something coming up again, and we're going to talk about this next as to, you know, it feels like we're getting one step closer to the edge of the cliff. And you know, it's about, RCI is about to be pushed over the edge, and we're going to talk to you about that and have Wojtek explain exactly what's going on. But first, I think we'll take a short break here, and you're listening to the International Radio Report on CKUT. And Gilles, you want to talk a little bit about our, as we usually do, our solar conditions, but in a little bit different vein this time.
Yes, because we are pre-recording this earlier than what we thought we would do, so I can't really give a regular soul report for what's going to happen, because it's like looking in a crystal ball. But we can talk a little bit about this year. What we've learned is that we've got into cycle 25 of the solar cycle. So we are in a new solar cycle that started to rise, started to show a lot more activity towards the second half of 2020. And we, of course, know that the solar minimum was finally achieved in December of last year. So 1 year ago was the month of the solar minimum. Now, looking forward to 2021, this solar cycle is going to continue to grow. And hopefully at a good pace so that we can have a lot more activity on the shortwave bands. And it's going to be interesting to see how the future goes with this cycle, because we have two conflicting ideologies, one about which is NASA and NOAA in the United States, that have their predictions of solar cycle 25 being a cycle that is going to be pretty much the same strength as cycle 24, which was the smallest cycle in 100 years. But there are a lot of talk about maybe we could be getting into one of the strongest cycles. And it depends who you ask. And of course, we don't know that much about the sun. So anything is possible. Let's cross our fingers that propagation improves. And of course, solar cycle 25 will continue to grow throughout the year and hopefully give us great propagation. So turn on that radio.
Radio Canada International.
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 Okay, thanks, Jill, for that solar update. And we're all looking forward to 2021 for so many different reasons. And one of them, of course, let's hope that the solar cycle does pick up, as some people are anticipating. You're with the International Radio Report on CKUT, and we're in the middle of a kind of a special program focusing on Radio Canada International. We have with us Wojtek Viazda, who is the spokesperson for the RCI Action Committee, a former announcer and producer with RCI for 35 years. My goodness, it goes by quickly.
It did.
So we have brought us up to current day's activities with respect to RCI. What's happening, and how bad is it?
It's really bad. If you read the press communique from CBC, it says that they're modernizing RCI and expanding. But when you read through the details, what you realize is that CBC, Radio-Canada, is now forcing RCI to abandon its mandate of doing programming for an external audience. And this is in contravention of the Broadcasting Act, which specifically says that condition of the CBC's license is to have an international service. And then in an order in council, which kind of explains exactly what that means, it's written that we have to do programming that's targeted at an international audience. So that's not as evident in the press release, but that's what the bottom line is. They're going to fire the staff that's programming in Canada's official languages of English and French. We'll no longer have RCI personnel doing that. And I'll explain how they'll continue to do some things. The RCI website, which has existed since 1996, because we were an early innovator with the internet, will not be a standalone anymore. It'll be buried inside the websites of CBC and Radio-Canada. And they're going to, here's where they're talking about the expansion, two new sections in Punjabi and Tagalog, popular languages in Canada. But in fact, they're field journalists, one in Punjabi, one in Tagalog. And the people that are in the Arabic, Chinese, and Spanish sections, which have three announcer producers, each of them very highly experienced in terms of targeting material for those places in the world, well, they're all fired. And what they're going to replace these people with are people who will translate into Arabic, Chinese, Spanish, the texts that are given to them by an editor at the CBC and an editor at Radio Canada. So this is the major improvement, modernization from the CBC's point of view. For us, as Sheldon, you mentioned earlier, this is probably the penultimate. This is like our last breath. If they manage to do this, my bet is we're going to disappear in a year when they say, well, where is this RCI? It's buried somewhere, you know, we're only now on the internet, and it's going to be buried inside CBC and Radio Canada.
They're going to want to use this as an excuse to remove it. It, you know, it just has the same feel as when Radio Canada left shortwave. It has the feel of a CBC that just wants to get rid of this thing. And by putting it on the main site somewhere where it's difficult to find, less people are going to find it, and they're going to say, well, you know, finally, maybe an international voice. We don't need that. Nobody's listening anymore.
That's right. It basically, you know, the image that I had in my mind, I'm not sure if this this will get it across, but imagine you've got a car, you deflate the tires, you rip off a door or two off of the car, and then you say, well, this car is no good. You know, we can't use this car. That's basically what they've done for 30 years.
Yeah, it's exactly that. You know, it feels like that to anybody that's been a fan of RCI. And, you know, I think it was a slow death approach that they were using, you know, bit by bit, chipping away. And now they've got it to this point where, you know, they almost take for granted that, oh, well, you know, everybody out there's got internet and they're going to be able to find us and they're going to be able to listen to us. And that's the way to do it now today. And unfortunately, some other countries have thought that way, too, and have transferred their programming on shortwave over to internet. But we've seen a reversal of that over the last few years, where a number of countries have actually gone and started putting programming out on relay transmitter sites. Radio Miami International, for example, is one that's carrying broadcasts of many international broadcasters and rebroadcasting through their shortwave site. So those countries have had second thoughts and have said, well, let's hang on here a second. We still have this old archaic technology of shortwave out there, but it works. It still gets signal from point A to point B. It doesn't have a gatekeeper.
And that's the crucial thing.
Yeah.
You know, the gatekeeper aspect of it. And also, yes, it's old, but so are landline telephones, and yet they work. And they work even when everything else is down. That's one of the things that, like, I mean, the lifeline to get a hold of a lot of audiences around the world was shortwave. But we were early innovators with the internet, with all kinds of means of using satellites also. We also got involved with transmitter exchanges of time on transmitters with different countries so that they could use our transmitters in Sackville, New Brunswick, so that they could broadcast to North America and we could broadcast to Asia more easily. So there was a lot of innovation, a lot of ways of looking at it. But the important thing was to get the information out to an audience outside of Canada and explain things. How it was done was we were pretty imaginative. We had records, we had cassettes, we had the shortwave signal, we had all of these ways and the internet. Like, I mean, we actually had a presence on the internet even before there was the World Wide Web. Because I remember putting things on the National Capital Freenet in Ottawa.
Wow, that sounds like a very long time ago to us now.
It is.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting you mentioned Sackville in there too, and that was another drastic cut that was made. I mean, the first opportunity that they took advantage of was to rip down and close up that transmitter site in Sackville. Once that infrastructure was gone, there was no vehicle left within Canada for them to even get the programming out on shortwave. They would have had to go to some other country's transmitter site somewhere. So that, you know, was just not an option for using Sackville any longer. With that gone, we lost a huge chunk of the infrastructure.
And that was the most disappointing thing for us, because up until the destruction of the Sackville towers, the transmitter towers, there was always hope that we could return to our former glory. There was always this hope. And right now, you know, it's going to take a huge leap of faith. And what we're hoping is that we can convince the Canadian Heritage Minister to hope with us and to say, stop, this has clearly gone on for 30 years, an abuse of RCI by the domestic service. This has got to stop. And what we're asking is that everything gets frozen at the level that we're at, and then we have a real discussion, that they let us and any outside agency outside of the CBC discuss what kind of future RCI could be, what kind of things that we could do to slowly rebuild, renew RCI. Because it's true. Like, I mean, when I was looking at the figures and I realized, okay, there's only going to be 9 people left with the cuts now, but there are only about 20 people there right now. That's how far we've fallen in terms of, and I remember, I've told you this, Sheldon, privately, in the past, in 1990, before when we lost half of our staff and we had 200 people, I remember going to my bosses and saying, because I had worked for the domestic service of CBC, I remember saying to them, look, you're asking us to do all these things. We need more people. And we've been going the opposite direction. And as you said, we were being compared to the BBC, and yet our budget was like 10 times less.
Yeah.
And it's amazing what we managed to do, as well as the engineers at the Sackville site who were really imaginative in getting the broadcast signals out all over the world.
Well, you know, we're coming towards the end of the show, and what I want to focus on before we have to leave, we appreciate you being here and filling us all in on the history and bringing us up to where we are now. Anybody listening that has concerns about this, any old fans of RCI who know all of what we've talked about here today, what can we do now as listeners? Is there anything that we can do to help? I know the RCI Action Committee, and we'll tell you how to track them down and find out more information about what's going on. But is there anything that our listeners can do in the meantime?
The key person who can make decisions on this and can affect things, both the Broadcasting Act, which says there has to be an international service that's run by CBC, and the orders in council, both of those things are basically controlled by the Minister of Canadian Heritage, Stephen Guilbeault. And so you can find his name, and we'll have that on our website. Write to him and say why it's important for RCI to be protected. Why is it important for that international mandate to broadcast to an external audience? Why is that important? You know, and basically, why is CBC deciding for the Canadian people whether the Voice of Canada exists and how well it should be funded? And I think that's the crux of it. And the main person to go to talk to is that. If you will also put on, there's a committee, a House of Commons committee on Canadian heritage, and they deal with these issues. And we're asking to be heard by the committee. You can write to those members. We'll put the email addresses of those people along with the Heritage Minister's email address and tell them why it's important for RCI to continue doing the mandate, the job that they were given in 1945, which is make sure that people know what the Canadian reality is.
So we have the RCI Action Committee page up as well. We'll put a link up to that, and people can just search RCI Action Committee. It's going to bring them to the page.
Yeah, the easiest way to find our website is if you put in RCI Action Committee blog, and you'll get it. The actual address is rciaction.org/blog. But if you put in RCI Action Committee blog, you'll find us. We're also on Twitter. We're also on Facebook, so you can find us all over the place.
Sounds great. Well, we'll certainly share all of that information through our Facebook group. And people who want to go back and listen to the show, it'll be up on the archives. They can go back and listen to it again, get some more details. But there's a lot of information on the RCI Action page as well. Historical articles, too, talking about the actions that took place in the past, the lobbying that went on. And, you know, I think the Action Committee has a lot to be proud of, and the listeners around the world who helped support RCI over the years, you know, we thank them for all we've done up to now, but it's time, you know, to try to kick us back into action again. Yep. It's just, you know, it seems like we keep running the same play over and over and over. But this time, I think it's more crucial than ever, because, as we said, this is the final death blow, I think. If this goes through, I just don't see any future left for RCI. You know what bothers me the most?
What?
Radio broadcasting started in Canada. And to go through listings of, you know, international broadcasters and all that, we see loggings of stations that people are listening to, and it's always listed out alphabetically. It just skips over Canada, and it has for years, because it's like we're not even there anymore. And that really hurts when you see that. Every time I see that, just it really makes me sad. So unfortunately, we've come quickly to the end of our half hour. We thank you, Wojtek, for taking some time during the holidays here to come in and speak to our listeners about this. We really appreciate it, and we hope that these actions will get something done, and that people are listening, and it means something to them.
Yep. Thank you so much for being here.
Pleasure.
All right. Thank you all for tuning in. We wish everybody a very happy new year. We will be back again in the new year with our next edition of the program. In the meantime, you can reach us by email, radioreport@yahoo.com, and go back, check the archives of the shows on ckut.ca. And of course, our Facebook group, where we'll put all the links to what we've talked about today with the addresses and websites and what have you. That is the International Radio Report on Facebook. That will do it for us today and for this year. We hope you have a good new year. We will talk to you again in January. You've been listening to the International Radio Report on CKUT.
We must all continue to respect public health guidelines and follow self-isolation instructions. Self-isolate if you have symptoms. Self-isolate after testing. Self-isolate if the test is positive. Self-isolate when you return from a trip. And self-isolate when you've been in contact with someone who's tested positive. Self-isolation is important. Please, take it seriously. Learn more at quebec.ca/self-isolating. A message from the Gouvernement du Québec.
Still looking for a holiday gift or two for the special people in your life? CKUT has new merch, including hoodies and t-shirts, that showcase classic designs dug up from our art attic. Head to ckut.ca to discover our new merch store and find out more about sizing and shipping. Happy holidays from all of us at CKUT.